You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It's I, DJ Impact. And we got Sin City Steve with us and Rob Bossolari. And welcome.
There's again. Always going to be a bald white guy in the top right corner.
Hey, it's a rule, man.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right. We don't have Matt Michaels with us. So
explosive diarrhea. Diarrhea Dwayne.
Oh, God. Hey, it caught on, right?
But I guess.
I don't want that to catch on.
No. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, Michaels will be back with us next week. But thank you for hanging out with us. If you're watching us live, make sure you put all your comments in the chat box with Twitch, YouTube Live, or Facebook Live. We'll try to get it in as we see fit. We have Sin City Steve back with us. Last week, he wasn't here. He was enjoying the AEW Revolution show, and I got a chance to see it myself. And, Rob, uh-oh, I guess, got a chance to see it. And, Sin City, we'll start from you. What was your thoughts? And let's just go from there.
All right. So, actually, as far as Revolution, it was a lot of people are calling it the best AEW pay-per-view of all time. Mm-hmm. And not my words. I don't agree with that. I don't know if it's recency bias or whatever. I'm sure that has something to do with it. Yeah. But given the fact that it was the proper send-off for Sting, it was exactly the way that it needed to be. Sting riding off into the sunset, having that awesome moment with his two sons before the match. And then during the match, you've got the things going on with Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. You had the AEW pay-per-view banner debut of Will Ospreay actually being a contracted AEW wrestler. And, dude, he and Konosuke Takeshita went out and put on a match of the year candidate. They put on a match that was rated over 5 stars by Dave Meltzer. I know, take it with a grain of salt, whatever. But you're doing yourself a disservice if you do not go see that match. Seek out whatever methods that you may to check out that match. I am interested to get your feedback on that match, however, Impact. But yeah, a very solid show, Revolution from top to bottom. Couple of things here and there, but we'll talk about that later.
Sure. Absolutely. Rob, let me quickly get your thoughts of Revolution.
Glass.
Huh?
Glass.
Oh, glass.
Fucking glass spot. Yep. Darby Allin is a machine. Darby Allin is fearless. Darby Allin was a guy in tights, some weird cross-dresser he earned his spot. He is incredible. And we've seen people take bumps before. They put Sting through glass. Now, he's covered head to toe in freaking Gore-Tex these days. But everybody sold. Everybody did the job they're supposed to. And also, Matt and Nick's persona, the Jacksons,
wearing
these, vests. They got a little bit of a beer belly going on these days. So what are they doing? They're covering it up, and they're rolling that into their new persona as, EVPs, executive vice presidents, wearing a onesie because they got a little fat. And if you notice, they don't wrestle that much. They're actually doing less in-ring stuff, but they're still giving you the appearance that they're performing. So all around, everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
They're entertaining people, but the physicality is there. They just had a match with Rainmaker, and He did most of the work, but they all sold.
Yep.
So right now we're getting two things that we haven't gotten in a while. We're starting to see a snowball of continuation of storylines. Continuity is starting to come. It's not there full steam yet, but we're seeing continuity. We're seeing the Undisputed Kingdom. They showed up in force. We're seeing Wardlow get spots. He won his freaking match. And now we're going, oh, wait a minute. Now this guy is actually in-ring competitor, ready to be a, you know, main event competitor for the AEW World Heavy Champion, World Heavyweight Championship. So everyone did what they were supposed to do.
Okay. All right.
And you can be, and you can have predictable results and still entertain. That's the WWE doesn't get. Sometimes I just, what I want. AEW is now doing both the fan service and the continuation. Good job.
All right. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to do two sweet for the week where we can get a little bit of your taste for Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, Rampage, all of it that comes to your mind. Let's get right to it. I'll start with you, Sin City Steve. What is your highlights for this week?
All right. Clip this. Whatever you need to do. Will Ospreay is the greatest wrestler on planet Earth. There. I said it. I got it out there. That way everybody can just, yeah. Yeah, that's a quote.
Ospreay.
Dude, for him to go out and have the caliber of match that he had with Takeshita at the pay-per-view and then turn around, especially after that back bump that he took on that on the brain buster in the turnbuckle. It looked horrendous at the time of the bump. He was able to, make things patched up, feeling better, and went out Wednesday and had another 5-star match with Kyle Fletcher. It's insane. There are some people that don't have 1 5-star match to their resume. I know Dave Meltzer take it with a grain of salt, but the fact is for him to do that twice in 1 week is fucking extraordinary. Elsewhere, Danielson and Kingston was a slugfest at Revolution. The thing that they continued to do is they gave legitimacy to Kingston, especially with what they did on Collision this week and on Dynamite this week. Dynamite, obviously, that you saw the debut of Kazuchika Okada. He is All Elite. Came out on Dynamite as the Bucks were about to give Eddie Kingston the EVP trigger and made everybody think that he was coming in to be the babyface. He gave old Eddie Kingston the Rainmaker himself. And then you heard what Rob said as far as the match on Collision. It was the EVPs on the apron the entire time. Okada doing all the work. Mm-hmm. And yes, Okada will be your AEW Continental Crown Champion after Dynasty, after he beats Eddie Kingston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. All right. Let me go over to you, Rob. What was your highlight for this week?
First of all, that match ends and we're just expecting simple run. It didn't make sense to me why Eddie Kingston would run in like that. I'm watching this going, this is out of place. This is a setup for something bigger. We're getting a payoff here. The bastard pack! And I was like, oh! Oh! So here's the problem with that prediction for the Continental Belt going on Okada. If you have Pack there, I don't know. He's gonna have to go through Pac first or vice versa. We don't know. And also Pac's an asshole. He's a bastard. So at any time, he could screw Eddie Kingston over and he could go take the crown. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't want to say, yeah, it made it look like they were gonna go that route. That was great. I don't get into what we're looking forward to. The Rock promo was great with everyone telling each other to shut up. And The Rock finally goes, I am the boss of TKO. That means I'm your boss. And I like that he called Seth Rollins a crossdresser. He's getting heat on social media. Fuck those gray fucking snowflakes. He does look like a crossdresser. That's what he's doing. They said, you wear your wife's clothes. I need The Rock to be The Rock. I hope he leans into this. I hope he doesn't. I don't want to see a Dwayne Johnson apology on social media. He needs to lean in and go fucking quadruple down I want him to insult people on social media so hard that, because think about it, he said it, I am the boss. So real life kayfabe, he owes nobody an apology. If you're seeing him for the first time and you are offended, go fuck yourself. He did a skit on SNL called the Child Molesting Robot. That was an SNL skit, the Child Molesting Robot, where Dwayne Johnson is a mad scientist who makes a child molesting robot. It's fucking hysterical. Does that mean he wants to do that in real life? No. Get over yourselves. This is what The Rock is. He's a piece of shit. Love it. Lean into it, Dwayne.
I will tell you this. So watching Raw and listening to Seth and Cody discuss how Rock was on his social media with this 21-minute just going off on them. And I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, it was great to mention that because I had no idea. But to be honest, I forgot to look at it, right? So then, of course, we're coming into Friday, SmackDown, and, of course, I'm in these wrestling chat groups. It was sent to me another Rock link while he was in Texas. And I actually said, okay, I'm going to watch this. I couldn't believe this video went so long of him just talking trash. But you know what ended, what he said at the very end of that video? Mm. And it just had me going, wow, this is on a whole nother level. He said, and for you, Cody Rhodes, fuck your story. And then he said again, fuck your story. What? The Rock? Like, this is not the same Rock that I grew up watching. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Actually, no. I'm going to expand on that. It is.
It is.
He is a progression of a character. Dwayne Johnson is the only guy who understands what his purpose is top to bottom. He knows that he cannot just keep saying it doesn't matter what your name is.
Right.
He knows that. And now he's got all of the other talent. He's got Austin Theory saying that. He's got Miz, I think, have said that. They've all said his catchphrases now.
I guess my point is I never, growing up with The Rock, you really never heard him go that deep with cussing, right? Everything was just, you know, saying something
because
funny.
It's a different time now.
I understand.
On one hand.
I understand, but it's still different to hear it, you know, when you, because I wasn't prepared for it. And they're like, oh, wow, okay.
Here's what annoys me as a fan. I do not want to tune into, I understand SmackDown being on Fox. I do not want to tune into USA and hear, Rock. I'm like, what is this bullshit? Or just they cut out like a minute and a half of everything. Look, if you're going to have The Rock be The Rock and people are paying for that experience, okay, fuck it, air it. Now for the kids,
let me ask you, is that going to change off when Netflix catch on?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay.
Sacrifice, you had Moose saying, get the fuck out of my way to the cameraman, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm almost asking myself at this point, it's on Access TV. Put the disclaimer, this is adult material. Besides the fact that somebody getting bashed over the skull until her head explodes with blood, but he said the word fuck.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my kids repeating that. But little Jimmy, if you want to take a folding chair and bash your brother's skull until he's concussed and has CT damage, sure.
All right, let's see if anyone need any love. All right, let's start with you, Rob. Is there anyone you're like, man, this person needs some love over here?
He was in a match and he lost, and I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody I'm forgetting. I still don't know what they're doing with Jay Lethal. He's in matches, but they go nowhere. Collision, while it had spots as a whole, it was a whole show that went nowhere. There was a lot of matches with dark talent, which is that a fair way to say it? Which is no-name people. And it's almost like a showcase. It was almost like a exhibition matches, nonstop exhibition matches. But what are we doing with this guy? We have all of the elements. We have all of the ingredients between him, and then we've got Briscoe. Put him in something relevant. Put him in something relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I'd almost rather see him go on Ring of Honor and just dominate Ring of Honor. And then absolutely. Have you tell me that if you want to see these guys, you got to watch them on Ring of Honor. I'd rather just see them dominate that entire franchise. Cut them out of the whole, cut them out of AEW altogether if you're not going to use them. Ric Flair needs some damn love because Ric Flair and Steamboat are there to take spots. Ric Flair has juice in the tank. Mm-hmm. Let him cut promos. Let him be someone's corner man and cut promos. Okay. You've had three of the four horsemen. Why is the best mic guy for the four horsemen not Tully Blanchard cutting promos? Okay. Arn Anderson cut promos. Okay. They were both shit. They were both terrible at what they did. But Flair, hell, Tully got in the ring.
Yeah.
In a fucking Speedo. He got in the ring and wrestled. They set up all his spots. Put Flair in there on the mic.
Okay.
Put him on the mic. Give him love.
Sin City, who needs some love?
You know, completely opposite end of the spectrum. Where is the love for Brian Cage? Okay. The guy has had a phenomenal look for years.
He's our height.
I know. But nonetheless, man, like, you mean to tell me that the absolute best usage for that guy is taking insane bumps for Hook? Now, here's the thing. He made Hook look like a million fucking dollars during their FTW rules match on Dynamite.
Right.
Cage took thumbtack bumps. He took a dive through the barricade. He did whatever he possibly could to make this kid look awesome. And he succeeded. The fact is, you know, I understand that they're building Hook and that he's going to be, you know, in AEW long term. Totally get that. Totally respect that. But, you know, I really would like to see Brian Cage get his due and actually, I don't know, win a match from time to time on TV. Sure. I don't know the last time that he won a singles match. Obviously, they had Cage. What's that?
This is Brian Cage, the makeup.
This is it.
This is him now. This is what he does. Puts on the makeup. He jobs. He jobs to people who are way the fuck smaller than him and less talented than him. He jobs. He's got glass skull and he jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is, man. Like, where is the love for this guy, man? Seriously.
Yeah.
Fuck, where's a win for this guy?
Destroyer.
Where is a win for this guy?
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what comes from that.
Brian, hold on. Brian, this is a famous show right here. For $10, okay, I'll give you $10. I'm going to dress up like Donald Trump and Canadian Destroyer you, okay? So let's just make that happen, buddy. I'll Venmo you, all right?
That'd be fucking awesome.
All right, let's see.
Great.
This week's WTF. Well, I happened to watch Dynamite as well this week, so I'm slowly getting near Sin City. I'm gonna always have a problem, and I might get beat down on this, and my apologies. I'll be ready. But look, I'm always gonna have a problem with Riho. I'm just gonna tell you that. She is just not believable for me.
You didn't believe her when she beat Nyla Rose?
No, it was the worst. And that's how AEW kicked off. I'm like, oh, that's where we're going. Jesus. Okay. But now I'm watching the match versus Chris Statlander, and she is being demolished, tossed, thrown like a puppy dog. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. And I'm like, oh, they're going on a commercial break, and they're going to come back to the same beatdown. Okay. And after they do this, she's somehow still beats Chris, and I'm just like, this is the problem right here. You know, I it's every time I I don't know what it is about why they, what's the deal about Riho, but I am just not there, and I'm probably won't be there ever. But that's one of my biggest WTLs watching that. I'll say this much, Sin City, in terms of Ospreay. And it's like, Ospreay in this segment? No, don't get it twisted. Ospreay, I have made this comment on another chat of mine. I said, I think that he's probably one of the best wrestlers that's in this business. And that's real. My only problem at the moment with Ospreay is that I am not, I don't feel any connection with any character. The wrestling is on point. I mean, we can't say anything about that. But I'm ready to see how can he now get me invested within these matches. Because when I'm watching these matches going, they're great. But at the very end, I'm like, wow, that was a great match. But
He is the new Kenny Omega.
You're right.
Kenny Omega. Oh,
and I'm just like, so? All right, well, next. I'd rather have that emotional moment with something that's really attached to that. And there just wasn't anything there outside of the fact you had two great wrestlers. That's my only thing. But hands down, dude, the guy's the top. I mean, he, like I say, one of the best that's doing this.
Here's a question.
Maybe if that happens, and maybe it with being full-time AEW, there will be those stories in maybe long-term, and let's see how well that's all presented in a way that's like, oh. But listen, I will still take a, you know, Stone Cold, Rock, Cena, Roman that's doing limited in the ring, but fully got me emotional, invested in what they're doing because of how they're selling it. And that's just kind of where I'm in. That's just
a great thing. Great thing about pro wrestling is that both can exist.
That's true.
Can exist.
AEW right now has one gaping problem. They don't have a heel. Samoa Joe is not a heel. He's a cocky champion. The Undisputed Kingdoms are not really heels. They're obnoxious people. Christian Cage is probably the closest thing you have to a standout heel. WWE has this with, to a degree, Roman Reigns. Right now, the biggest heel in the WWE, and he's still over, is The Rock, is the biggest heel in the WWE. He's completely outshined Roman Reigns, but that's still to say that there's a heel there. Drew McIntyre is a conflicted guy. He's a heel, but he's a heel with a purpose, and the purpose actually makes sense. So even he is not a standout heel. AEW has nobody as your one. God damn it, I hate this guy. There is no one person where you're in the ring throwing stuff at the TV. I need
WWE to has Logan Paul too.
Yeah, but Logan Paul is it, you're liking him. I mean, a guy where you when Triple H came out.
I like him again. I like him. I like his. I like him as a for his talent in wrestling. But whenever he gets on the mic with his cockiness, I'm right there with him. Like where The Rock is, I'm like, dude, he's such an ass. Such a dick, you know, and that's when I'm at that level.
It's in the ring 20 years ago. You go, God damn it, I hate this guy. They give him the belt too many times. He's fucking obnoxious. He's my, but he was so good at it. Now, in retrospect, you go, wow, what would the attitude ever have been without Hunter Hearst Helmsley? There would be no Rock and Stone Cold to play off of because they needed a guy. He is the Wrath of Khan. He is that guy who just does not die. They don't have somebody like that. It's a vacuum in AEW, and they barely have somebody like that in Raw. Roman Reigns' problem was he only recently got good on the mic within the last year or so.
Yeah.
So he got there, and then he got there, and once again hit a ceiling, and then The Rock showed up, and Roman Reigns went off to the side. But Roman Reigns is doing some good acting now because you could tell he's pissed at The Rock for taking his thunder, pulling a little shine off him.
Well, let me ask you this, Rob. Let's go. Do you have any WTFs this week at all? Any did you see?
My WTF has said it already. Collision. What is that show? If that show was supposed to be for CM Punk, it's not anymore. So you had about, what, 8 matches or so? You had Jericho wrestle a guy from CMLL. I don't care about this partnership because these guys are a one shot. So they did a run in where the CMLL was doing a run in kind of like the old school run in from ECW and WCW that they did in 2001. Mm-hmm. But there's no payoff to it because we see the guys, we beat them, and then they leave. So there's nothing there. It's not an invasion storyline because they're only doing one-offs. So that's a what the fuck. Okay. You've got the fact that we had a bunch of guys, had this guy named something Priest, don't know who he is, don't care. It was, you know, we got to see squash Wayne's match. World. What? It was a squash match. Right. But if you can't have an entire night be squash matches.
Absolutely.
You can't have an entire 2 hours be squash matches. You can't have Deonna Purrazzo go out to interrupt and get her ass fucking kicked in 3 punches, and now she's out cold. We're facing the ground to old-time fake Toni Storm, which I find that shit funny because Mariah May looks like Toni Storm. Great. Nope. But Deonna Purrazzo took 2 weak punches and was assed the fuck out. Mm-hmm. You just delegitimized everything you did. You built her up just to make her a freaking squash victim.
Tell me about it. One of the biggest fans of Deonna. That's
you
myself.
You just wiped her off.
I'm like, what? Okay.
And we know it's going to be Monet. Mercedes Monet is going to come in, beat the shit out of her. Don't bury the lead. You buried the goddamn. This is why I hate social media. Just because they like it over here, I still want to be entertained like an old timer. Entertain me like a guy who's only watching TV because, be honest with you, I'm not a death scroller on social media. I want to see it on the TV. I don't give a fuck about what, you know, everybody's doing on a social media page. Okay. Don't care. Right.
Let me go over to you. Sin City, man. Any WTFs for you this week?
Oh, my God. Yeah, several. So, obviously, Darby Allin, as we all know, has a fucking death wish.
Yeah,
the dude jumped off the ladder through the pane of glass. Everybody knows it. Everybody's seen the clips. Everybody saw his back. He's got a match against Jay White this week at Big Business on Wednesday. And then after that, he's going to climb Mount fucking Everest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mount fucking Everest.
Global now, warming. It's easier now.
Yeah, oh, exactly. there is a legitimate chance that he could not return. Yeah. And with that being said, you know, I genuinely hope everything goes well for Darby and that he does make it back. But the guy is the ultimate epitome of a risk taker. And most of the time that he's in there, you just have to ask, what the fuck? Yeah. Elsewhere. Okay.
That was your what the fuck.
That was one. That was one. I have to brace myself for this because, yeah. Okay. So I get the appeal of having surprise debuts and returns. I totally get it.
Sure.
But when your live event attendance is as bad as it's been for AEW, they need to get in the habit of doing something that WWE has done extremely well. And that is leak a press release to a news source. If you don't want to leak it to like Sports Illustrated or something like that, you can leak it to the Observer. You can leak it to any of the, you know, the prominent internet dirt sheet sites, whatever.
Yeah.
But leak it that they've signed a contract with Kazuchika Okada. That they've signed Mercedes Moné, that they've signed Will Ospreay. That one, they did a good job with because if you'll notice, they made it known that, hey, he signed his contract. Here's when he's going to show up. And if you look, that segment did extremely well on TV because people wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. Why haven't they followed through with that on anyone else? Something else that blows
TNA
my mind.
TNA does that. TNA does press releases.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Live event notices for the fans going to the shows. Okay, you don't need to give me a full lineup for every single show, but at least let me know who's going to be on the card. That might impact me on whether or not I want to buy a ticket to go see the fucking show. Because selling 1,400 tickets for Collision, yes, it was taped last week, but 1,400 tickets in Atlanta, Georgia? Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Was Collision not part? I thought Collision was part of Dynamite.
Collision was the day after Dynamite.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's ultimately
it's
what it
Rampage.
Was.
Yeah, it's Rampage. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They taped they taped those two.
But to be honest, none of us went to Collision when it hit Las Vegas.
I was there.
Oh, you did go to that one?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's right. You did.
It was it actually had pretty decent walk-up sales. Granted,
was that full? It was nowhere near to be. Silver Knights Arena full though. or close to it?
So there were only two sections that were tarped off. One being the section that actually physically had the hard camera in it, and then the section immediately close to the rampway, right next to that hard cam section. But so they had people in seats in every other section.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to ask, because AEW will go to the camera and go,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Let's see. What are we looking out for? All right, the lookout. Let me I'll go over to you, Rob.
What do
you
Jade want? Cargill.
Well, you know what's funny, Rob?
How do I know?
I'm finally beginning to find out. One of the questions I've kept asking myself is who is going to be on Bayley's side? Because I had no idea where they're going. She's going to need to have some help if she's going to go against Io, and Io's got three other people on her side. And when you look at all the other women, most of them either would be injured or are already in matches. So first off, I thought it was pretty interesting that SmackDown ran a segment where Naomi was kind of like, you know, Bayley's not that bad. And Bianca's like, I don't trust her. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're finally beginning to build some women for Bayley, because someone needs to have her back. So I am looking out to see, because as of right now, originally, before Dakota attacked Bayley, I had Bayley losing the title at Mania. Now that they've already exposed that, I'm like, okay, but maybe it's back to Bayley winning that title, but she's got to have help.
You just gave me a light bulb moment.
If Bayley has no help, it is not going to happen. So the question is,
you gave me a light bulb moment.
So, okay, go ahead.
I apologize.
Yeah.
If you wanted to bring in Cargill and you give a swerve, you cannot have a roster staffed full of faces. So what you could do is use the EST, make her a heel. This could be a heel turn for her when she said, I don't trust Bayley. Bayley's a babyface now. Right. So you go, I don't trust Bayley. That makes Bianca Belair the Drew McIntyre of the women's division, where she goes, hey, this woman screwed us over before. You know what? I'm never going to trust her, and I'm just going to kick her ass to teach her a lesson. And then you introduce somebody else from the roster. Doesn't have to be Cargill. Somebody else in the roster to round it out. Naomi's a given. That could be your way to do it. And Bianca Belair doesn't have to be a babyface forever. That's stale. This is her window to have a heel turn. That could work.
Well, I told that Michael. But okay. I mean, that's a possibility, but
throw it out.
I don't know if she would play a role, you know, in terms of
Bayley. Excuse me, girl. You don't even go here.
Oh God. Seriously. Anyway, in terms of what I'm looking out for, every week I'm looking out as we get closer into Mania, but really interesting to see where they're going to go with this whole Bayley thing. Let me go over to you, Rob. What are you on the lookout for on any of these shows?
Big business, first of all. Let's get that out of the way. I'm interested in the night as a whole, because I can't imagine that it'd just be Mercedes Moné, number one. Okada, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with them. Pac, I'm interested to see what's going to go down there. Some of the other matches that they called, I don't care as much for the Switchblade match. But then again, if we know that Darby Allin's out anyway, they buried the lead. Because he kept saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to be at Mount Everest. Well, guess what? No one's going to go to Mount Everest healthy. So we're going to have to injure this fucking guy and put him through for good. And now you're going to have – and Jay White's been a babyface. He's not a babyface, you know? So one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to turn, or the Bang Bang Scissor Game are all going to be assholes. I don't know, because you can't be these guys in the back corner not doing anything for 3 months now, but making a few, you know. So that's the one thing. Also, is Bullet Club even really a thing anymore? Anywhere? Nothing. No, Bullet Club is referenced nowhere. TNA, ABC, new theme, no Bullet Club reference. They have a few bit patches on their clothes. And Bang Bang Scissor Game is a vague reference, but not specifically Bullet Club. So any number of things can happen. And they mistakenly put it the music for what's his name that was injured not too long ago for the Bullet Club. Oh, Christ. So he got thrown through the glass. Juice Robinson. They mistakenly put his title up, his name up there. So that's a don't know. Could have a heel turn here. Heel turn, a quick heel turn. I'm very much interested in big business. We want to watch this thoroughly and carefully for every single spot, match, call, and interview.
Yeah, I mean they are kind of making it like a pay-per-view almost style the way they promote it. So I'm going to be there too, checking it out and seeing how this all comes together.
Pause. Don't do an interview with one person and then have her in an interview a second upon in another room. If you're going to do House of Black and have Julia Hart in an interview with Renee and then put her in another interview with the whole group a second later in a different room.
Yep.
Separate it. Commercial break. Stupid. Second way better. That's all.
All right. All right. All right. Let me go over to you, Sin City Man. What are you looking out for?
So I think this bears saying, keep in mind, Wardlow is challenging Samoa Joe at Big Business for the world title.
Yeah.
Either you're going to outright bury Wardlow, somebody that you've made mention that, you know, he has been buried in the past and you're going to do it again and just have Samoa Joe beat him clean. Or maybe somebody else is ready to come back. Maybe somebody who Wardlow said that he would take everything from. And instead, it's this person taking everything from Wardlow. I think we might get a Maxwell Jacob Friedman sighting in Boston. AEW Dynasty shaping up to be amazing. I mentioned Ospreay and Danielson. Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. I will take 60 minutes of that match. The other thing that they're like building to.
Porn.
I know, man. Dude, and I talk said
about
it before,
a finish.
Right. Okada versus Kingston. I think that, you know, I heard what you said earlier with Pac. I think that Pac is mainly going to be kind of like an intermediary for Okada. And then they'll hype that match up maybe for that the Dynamite on the 20th that they're already starting to build to with Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage. Which is interesting because they've got, they've got photos that leaked online. Evidently, what Copeland had in his, what was in the box was a giant fucking stick with nails protruding from it. So we're probably going to get some sort of a crazy gimmick match. We'll see what happens. But yeah, obviously.
Did he have a Janet in there?
Well played. So Dynasty is already shaping up to be amazing and they haven't even announced a world title match yet. So that's going to be awesome. We'll see what happens from here, but finally, for the first time, it feels like the buzz is back.
Yeah, it does seem like, they're gaining some interest over there. So, make you want to peep at around the curtain to see, what are they doing? All right. Let's get to our final one here, and that's going to be Best in Show for this past week. All right. Clearly for me, it had to be SmackDown leading up to that. I mean, everything about that was from that show was fire to me, especially watching Rock's video even before the show was enough just to like, okay, I won't lie, and it probably should have been in my WTF. Of course, what angered me most is after Cody slaps the Rock, we now getting the indication that the show was going off the air. Don't you dare. I was sitting up there saying, don't you go off the air. Keep it on. Keep it on.
Cliffhanger, bro.
Damn, they took it off the air. I was pissed. I'm not gonna lie. I, you know, but yes, SmackDown definitely was a hype show for me. And man, just getting closer and closer to that big day, man, where I'm gonna be out in Philly losing my mind over everything that's taking place. Let me go over to you though, Sin City. What was your best in show this past week?
Well, as Rob mentioned, Collision was little more than squash match mania. So AEW Dynamite.
I forget what Mike Michaels is not here.
Hey, see, there you go, man. I know. It's kind of a nice change for you, right? Realistically, this was a reboot episode of Dynamite. Updated set, updated logo, updated theme song, updated camera angles, and all around it was a home run. I think that they executed everything as good as they possibly could have. You know, I mentioned it earlier, but with Ospreay in the fold, Okada, Pac, even Kyle O'Reilly. We didn't even talk about Kyle O'Reilly showing back up. He's medically cleared, and he will be back wrestling for the first time in 2 fucking years. So props to that guy for getting back to where he needs to be. After setback. It just feels like as if the feeling's back, but let's just hope that they capitalize on it and that it results in higher TV ratings and ticket sales, because that's what we need for AEW.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Let's move over to you. Rob, what was your best in show?
It's SmackDown. Drama is back. Cliffhangers are back. I was frozen for a second. Wait. Did it end? Wait. What happened here? Hold on. Did I pause it? What did I do wrong? No. I'm excited. They're doing everything right so far. WWE has got me on the edge of my seat for all the right and wrong reasons. The right reasons because it's entertaining so far. The wrong reasons because I'm afraid they're going to fuck it up. But I think they know that it's baked into the bread now that they're gonna leave you to the impression that they might fuck up the whole thing. And that's fine too. As angry as I am, like I said, I want to throw something at the TV. Sometimes I want to throw something at the TV because of the product, but it's so obnoxious that I'm watching it the following week because you're hoping they redeem it. So it was good. The promos when Seth Rollins finally cut The Rock off. He slapped The Rock. It was a weak slap. He didn't cock back and get into it. It was kind of like his wife almost slapped him. It was that intensity. It was like a, you know, Brandy Rhodes level intensity, you know.
Okay.
I hope that we see the natural one. I want to see his brother show up at this point. But that aside, it was the most, and by the way, the feud between the LWO and Legado del Fantasma, it's good. Legado del Fantasma and LWO, this shit is good.
Yeah.
You know, we've got everybody coming back. Happy birthday, Charmaine. You've got Rey Mysterio coming back and impressing. You've got everybody. You've got, you know, all of the new guys coming in and impressing. Dragon, I don't know if he's going to be with them in LWO. I hope so.
Yeah. We'll see, man.
But it's good. It's really good. The other ones, the other problems with the other promotions where they were throwing up too many weird matches in between. Dynamite was great. It's a hard second place. If SmackDown's an A+ or an A, Dynamite was an A-.
So, all right. Folks, that is our wrestling talk. We got to move over into our normally, which would be called three count, but we're actually going to do a special segment, and that's our thoughts on the retirement of Sting. We're going to talk about quite a few things, and we're interested and want to know your thoughts as well. So as we get off of this live feed, just prepare to jump back onto that one. But in the meantime, thank you for hanging out with us, and next week, fellas, we'll be watching. A lot of things gonna be going on. Still building up on Mania. Big business happening. We're gonna have a lot to talk about next week. And again, we have Michaels back to scream at Boss Larry. So always looking forward.
You know, I don't understand why we let such a freaking mark on this show.
All right, with no that, y'all take care. Peace.
Biggest bad boys of podcasting.